for me. My hulkouts are getting worse, and I could use an outlet for excess energy. Besides, you're better off without me. I recently learned the down and dirty about your prophecy, how your loving queen is supposed to help you unite the clans and all. Loving queen? Nope, not me. And I've managed to cause irreparable friction between every clan. Nowadays, the only thing they have in common is their abhorrence for me. I've killed their men, stolen their magic, and helped their women escape gilded cages. The Shawazons have even taught other clanswomen to demand respect from their men, or else. You're welcome, genital men. By the way, everyone calls me Gillian the Dune Raider now. How awesome is that? Gillian Shaw, Dune Raider. P.S. Puck is getting chucked. 300 years A.B. Dear Puck, where are you? You said you'd be back by now. Whatever, doesn't matter. Your delay is going to cost you regardless. Consider yourself officially separated. FYI, I won your friends and all of your possessions in the settlement. But dang it, I still can't date other men. Stupid Bond. Maybe I despise you again. I'm more than ready to cross sex off my never-never list, but because of you, I can't. I can't move on with my life in any way. So I'll ask again, where are you? What happened to you? I know you were injured earlier because pain exploded through my head for no apparent reason, and a cold sensation wrapped around my wrist, then nothing. Look, I'm worried about you, okay? And I do not like to worry. Worry distracts and drains. Note to self, find a way to break the bond without Puck's shears. Wait a sec, the shears. You plan to use them after William helps you murder Sin, which means you must have already found the shears, which means you've hidden them somewhere in Amaranthia. Well, well, if you have one pair of shears and your wife has zero pairs of shears, your wife now has one pair of shears and you have zero. New goal, find the shears, even if I have to flash into a volcano to retrieve them. Oh, did I forget to mention I can flash? It happened accidentally the first, oh, bazillion times, and I vomited whenever I reached my destination, but I've since mastered the skill. Winter tells me not to get too attached to the ability, because magic comes and goes so quickly, and she plans to steal mine, but I'm enjoying the ride. Gillian the Dune Raider, P.S. Puck's gonna get his shears plucked. 343 years A.B. Dear Puck, Winter was right. I lost my ability to flash when my supply of magic got low. I visited the oracles, hoping to discover eternal magic. Before the three even deigned to speak to me, I had to offer a token of my appreciation. You might have noticed that I cut off my hand with my middle finger extended. I'm sweet like that. What do they do with all the body parts people give them anyway? I'm imagining steaming cauldrons with Eye of Newt or something. The oracles told me three things, and none of them about magic. One, the man I love has a dream, and I will kill it. Two, I must choose between what could be and what will be. Three, a happy ending is not in my future. I'm not going to worry about number one, because you're never coming back with William, and he's the only one who could ever tempt me to fall in love. That's right, I went there. As for number two, I have no idea what it means, so I've decided to consider it absolute hogwash. And number three, screw the oracles, I'm going to prove them wrong. And when I do, you'll know you can prove them wrong about you. You don't need William's help to overthrow Taliesin Connaught. You can do it on your own. Or I can do it for you if the price is right. So come home and set me free already. Gillian the Dune Raider. P.S. Puck sucks. Classics never get old. 405 years A.B. Dear Puck, you still haven't returned, and I still haven't found the shears, which makes me wonder if the oracles were right, and I'm destined to have an unhappy ending after all. What if I'm forever stuck with an absentee husband, a visiting demon, Hulk rages, and no love life? I'm being wooed, Puck, wooed, by soldiers, princes, even kings. Yep, you read that right. Mating season has hit Amaranthia, and I'm the novelty at the top of everyone's hit-it list. At first, everyone wanted to capture or kill me. I even received Trojan horse-type gifts, poisonous flowers, notes with evil spells and assassins. You know, the usual. When the whole capture-kill thing failed, guys started sending me all kinds of romantic crap. Gold, jewels, fruit from their private orchards, tents, cattle, and magic. Well, not magic exactly, but men for me to slay so I can tap into their magic like a beer keg. In that regard, I'm always happy to oblige. The only leader who hasn't shown any interest in me is your brother. I haven't purposely avoided Sin or anything, but I've only come across him twice. He built a massive compound on Cunnaught land and created some sort of maze around it. His people are forbidden to leave. Other clans must survive the maze to get inside. I've heard horror stories about monsters, tests of strength and endurance, puzzles and total mind screws. The first time I saw Sin, I knew he was your brother without being told. He looks a lot like you. Same long dark hair, sans razors, same dark eyes. I'm sure most women consider him the beauty of the family, because Winter has mentioned it about 1,000 times. To me, he's not as striking. Tell the truth, my compliment made you jizz your pants. Plus, he doesn't have horns, or furry legs, or hooves. Not that I'm digging on those or anything, it's just winter has come, the season, not the woman, and I remember how toasty warm you are. Not that I want to cuddle with you or anything, though I admit I've thought about our interactions a lot. Most of the time you were Iceman, other times you were nice, despite the demon. What gives? Anyway, I'm tempted to sneak into the Cunnaught compound and do a little spying. I mean, how would you feel if you returned and I'd already taken care of your brother? Would you thank me with a little bond severing? Or resent me? Gillian, the Dune Raider. P.S. Did you know Sin is engaged to your former fiancé? 422 years A.B. Dear Puck, I've decided you're never coming back. I do indeed hate you again, and I'm destined to die without ever having an orgasm. At least I've made a new friend. Remember the Chimera P.O.S. who broke my hand the day you abandoned me in Amaranthia, soon after you broke my finger? Well, about 2.5 years ago, her great-great-granddaughter gave birth to a baby boy, a little runt who has come close to death more times than I like to admit. Mama wanted nothing to do with baby. The P.O.S. gene is strong in this bloodline, I suppose, so I took over his care. His name is Peanut, and he looks at me as if I'm the Amaranthian version of Santa Claus, and every day is Christmas. He's jealous of Winter, Cameron, Johanna, and Rosaline, and any other chimera I attempt to ride. Tomorrow his training begins. He's going to be my war horse. I guess I owe you a debt of gratitude, Puck. If you hadn't brought me here, I wouldn't have met him. I wouldn't have trained and strengthened and grown. I wouldn't be this happy or have a family of my own. Okay, I don't actually hate you. And I know chimeras only live for about 200 years, and I'll lose my Peanut at some point, unless I find a way to make him immortal, of course. Where are you? Where's William? I kind of sort of miss you both. I regret how things ended. I want to talk to you guys. Please, Puck, hurry home. Gillian the Dune Raider. P.S. Keep me waiting much longer, and Pucky gonna get stucky with a sword.
Chapter 17 501 Years, A.B. Puck stepped through a final doorway, entering Amaranthia. Just as before, magic brushed against his skin and filled his veins, thrilling him. Unlike before, he didn't use magic to transform into his natural form. He had no desire to impress William. Reveling in his beloved homeland, Puck breathed in deeply. Tepid sunbeams shone upon the sea of sand. He glanced up. A storm brewed, the sky redder than usual. As Gillian must have learned, Amaranthian storms were extremely dangerous. Gillian. He wouldn't think about her, or how he would see her, breathe her in, touch her. Those thoughts would make him harden, well, harder, and indifference would, what? Puck waited, his ears twitching, but the demon had gone quiet. Anger coursed through him at the thought of Gillian being bothered by the dark presence. Anger he ignored as he forced his mind on the weather. In winter, hoarfrost covered everything, becoming a metaphor for his life. Spring brought warm days and rampant rains that produced dagger-like hail. In summer, lakes and ponds gradually dried out, and acid occasionally poured from the sky. During fall, the days fluctuated between too hot, too cold, and perfect. He'd returned in the middle of spring. There was no campsite within sight, and no bodies of water nearby. No one waited nearby with transportation either. No matter. He could run.
You brought my little gilly gumdrop to a dump like this? William demanded. My gilly gumdrop, mine.
No one had ever tried his legendary patience like this male. How could Gillian stand him? The irreverent bastard complained about everything, took nothing seriously, and never under any circumstances missed an opportunity to taunt Puck.
There is no better realm, and when Gillian is no longer mine, you can take her wherever you'd like.
He wouldn't be bothered by it either, not in the slightest degree.
If she decides to go with you, of course. Did I forget to tell you? Time passes differently here. I'm guessing 500 years have passed for my wife. She might have forgotten all about you.
With a hiss, William palmed a dagger and pressed the tip into the pulse at the base of Puck's throat.
You did not just say 500 years.
I did. He blinked at the male, unfazed by the weapon.
Gillian is now half a millennium old.
Flickers of red in those blue eyes, like rivers of lava cracking the surface of a volcano.
The girl I left better be the girl I find. She was perfect, just the way she was. If the centuries have changed her, you mean you want her to be the girl who chose me over you?
Two could taunt.
In that regard, I'm certain she's the same.
A lie. He was certain of nothing. Another hiss, the blade digging deeper. A bead of blood dribbled down his torso.
Either strike or back off, Puck said. Gillian awaits.
A tense pause. Then, with a great show of reluctance, William lifted the dagger.
This way.
Eager, Puck jetted forward. The other male remained close on his heels. Having a vengeful immortal at his back was foolish, lethally so, but at the moment he didn't exactly care.
So close to seeing my wife.
This time he couldn't push thoughts of her from his mind. How would she react when she spotted him? How would she react when she spotted William? A sudden and soul-deep ache threatened to rend Puck's chest in two.
You're wrong, you know, he said. She wasn't perfect back then. She was afraid of males in intimacy.
Although there at the end she kissed him as if she wanted, needed more.
We'll kiss her again, we'll...
William snarled, reminding him of indifference.
How do you know she was afraid of intimacy?
He hiked a shoulder in a shrug.
The subject came up. As long as it was the only thing that came up, William snapped. No, William of the Dark. I hardened for her every day we were together. Now I harden for her even when we're apart. The abuse she suffered as a child, worse than you can imagine, William said. And she suffered for years. With no one to help her, she ran away and lived on the streets, because the streets were safer. That is the girl you use against me.
Puck's butterfly tattoo scorched his skin on a downward slide to his leg as he grappled with remorse, with self-loathing so strong he wasn't sure he'd ever be free of it.
Enough chatter, he croaked.
He increased his speed, arms pumping and legs eating up the distance. William never lagged, a feat few had managed when up against Puck. When they came upon his camp, he had to do a double take. Tents had been replaced by homes made of stone and wood. Men meandered about, each dressed in a tunic and sheepskin pants. Fashion hadn't changed, at least. There were no women in sight, no sign of Gillian or even Winter. The females must be inside the homes, cooking and cleaning.
How quaint! A sausage fest! My least favorite of all the fests! William said with a dry tone. If any of these bastards touched my girl, my girl!
Puck closed his eyes for a moment and breathed, doing everything in his power to stop the erosion of his control.
Not mine, never mine.
He'd chosen vengeance. War over a woman, he would not stray from his path.
Better off alone.
No family, no chance of betrayal. He scanned every face but found no sign of Cameron either.
Where is she? William demanded. I will find out.
Puck approached a man who sat in front of a roasting quinine.
Cooking?
A duty usually performed by females. Except when those females were vegetarian and made bargains with their husbands, of course.
You.
The man glanced over at him and darted to his feet, eyes going wide.
My lord, you're back.
Where is my wife?
For that matter, where are Cameron and Winter? He was not impatient, but close to it.
He was ready to read the detailed history Cameron had written and find out everything that had happened in his absence. The color drained from the other male's cheeks.
They all moved, my lord, took all our women with them.
A fresh surge of fury radiated from William as he sidled next to Puck. He didn't ask you what they'd done. He asked you where they were. Answer.
Do not intimidate my subjects, Puck snapped. To the man he said,
I didn't ask you what they'd done. I asked you where they were.
The man gulped and pulled at the collar of his tunic.
To the east, my lord. They're part of a new clan, one that raids other camps, kills soldiers, and steals magic. They've caused a war between everyone.
Things had gotten worse since his departure, not better.
My good mood is deteriorating at a rapid rate, William said, his tone nothing but menace.
Either someone produces Gillian or I
will throw a tantrum, Puck interjected. Yes, I know. Instead, why don't you do what you do best and screw anything with a pulse? I'll hunt for my wife and figure out what's going on.
Have I told you how badly you suck? Winter asked with genuine cheer. Many times. Gillian blew her friend a kiss with her middle finger. You should try thanking me. I'm fixing your mistake, aren't I? No, you're saving Johanna. There's a difference. I just wish we could go in guns blazing.
Me too. Unfortunately, guns didn't work in Amaranthia. Something about the magic being incompatible, blah blah. 2 days ago, Clan Walsh had captured one of Gillian's generals. Considering the Walshes were douchebags, men who believed women were less important than cattle, she would make the sands run red with their blood tonight.
Steal from me and suffer.
When roars and snarls suddenly sounded in her mind, she snarled. Indifference had returned. He liked to pop in every couple decades, drive her insane, and take off.
Ignore him or go insane. No other choices.
Just so you know, Winter said, I never made mistakes before I met you.
Snort.
You made them all right. People were too afraid to tell you.
Gillian pressed her body deeper into the crest of the sand dune and tightened the camo scarf wrapped around the lower half of her face. The thin material protected her from biting winds and sprays of sand. Since waking up this morning, she'd been inundated with impatience. For Johanna's situation, of course, but could there be more? Here she was, about to save her friend, but rather than anticipation, she felt dread, her nerve endings wrecked. Indifference only made it worse.
Why aren't you two afraid to point out my flaws? Not that I have any flaws.
Is it because you've seen me in my Wonder Woman underoos?
That's it, isn't it?
The lovely keeper of selfishness was stretched out beside her. And why are we doing this anyway? We have a no-rescue policy for a reason. I remember all those pesky traps, tricks, and ambushes, do you?
She waited, knowing her friend was far from done. If other clans find out we're willing to go to war to save a general nowhere near as beloved or powerful as the Dune Raider's second-in-command, me, Winter added, as if clarification was needed, they're more likely to abduct our clanswomen.
Gillian sighed. The crux of the matter? Selfishness felt slighted because no one had tried to capture her.
On the other hand, other clans will be more likely to abduct our women if we do nothing. They need to know there are consequences if they mess with us.
Severe consequences.
And if we're walking into an ambush today?
It's not an ambush if we know it's an ambush. It's an opportunity.
Resisting an opportunity wasn't part of Winter's skill set.
Bingo. The beauty now seethed with eagerness.
Walsh is gonna die bloody.
Though both Shawwazans were loaded with weapons, the deadliest one pulsed in their hands.
Gillian extended an arm, moonlight glinting off the runes branded from fingertip to wrist.
So pretty. The twisting, twining lines had become a portal, allowing magic to enter her body whenever she made a kill.
Magic was power, and power was everything.
Never again would she be a helpless little girl, pretending to sleep while the scum of the earth violated her in the worst ways, or, when she couldn't pretend, doing everything commanded of her, hoping her abuser would finish quickly. Never again would she be too afraid to fight back.
So, what's the plan? Winter asked.
Basically, we're going to free Johanna and wreak havoc.
Nice. Havoc is my specialty.
deciding to sneak in and out of the enemy camp rather than charge full force. They come without backup. Gillian had even left her beloved and faithful war chimera, Peanut, at home. Guaranteed, he was pouting, eating her furniture and biting anyone who dared approach him. She sighed and studied the camp. 154 tents were set in rows, allowing neighbors to keep an eye on each other. Crackling fire pits were strategically placed as well, each one supplying light for 4 tents. This was a mobile outpost, meaning the occupants could pack up and vanish in minutes. Soldiers patrolled the outside perimeter, ready to ring a gong at the first sign of trouble. Other soldiers patrolled between the tents. By attacking the site, the Shawazans declared war on the entire Walsh clan. Actually, by imprisoning Johanna, a Shawazan general, the Walshes had already declared war. Sure, Johanna had invaded their territory while playing truth or dare with Winter, but she hadn't done it to make trouble, only to steal a kiss from a handsome stranger. For that, the Walshes thought to torture Johanna? Think again. No woman left behind, even if Gillian had to risk everything. So other former Shawazans had betrayed her in the past and set traps for her. So what? Johanna she trusted. They shared a similar background and had talked about their experiences, helping to build each other up. One of the first things Johanna had said to her, after Gillian had shared the worst of her abuse, "I believe you." Her own mother hadn't believed her. Then Johanna had added, "What happened wasn't your fault, you know it. They know it. And now your body is a weapon. Never again can someone use your weapon against you." That day, something inside Gillian had changed. The truth had been snapping into place. The abuse had never been her fault. She'd been an innocent child placed in the care of an uncaring man. No look in her eyes had welcomed him. He alone carried the blame for his actions, now and always, and she would never accept such a terrible burden again. When the heavy weight had lifted off her shoulders, she'd wanted to cry. So badly she'd wanted to cry in relief and fury and a thousand other emotions she'd been unable to name. But her tears had remained at bay. Maybe she'd shed too many over her mortal life and had no more to give. Even still, the lack hadn't stopped the tide of longing from springing to life. She'd wanted Puck's strong arms wrapped around her, holding her close, wanted his warm breath to be a caress on her skin as he whispered words of comfort, wanted the softness of his fur, so different from any contact she'd ever before known, to warm her. Hoping to rid herself of such unwise desires, she'd gone searching for damning information about his past, youthful misdeeds, betrayals, anything. Except when she heard about the wars he'd won, the warriors he'd fought, the men who'd wanted to be him, and the women who'd hoped to tame him, she'd admired him and only missed him more. Of course, she'd also found out he'd once had a crush on Winter, and she hulked out, which made no sense. What did a past crush matter? Unless he still wanted the Keeper of Selfishness. Uh-oh, familiar prickles on the back of her neck, heating skin. Inhale, exhale. Good, that was good. No reason to hulk out here, of all places. She'd run out of Quislimacroida syrup and hadn't had a chance to harvest more. Do I need to run for my life? Winter asked. No, I'll be fine. Maybe, hopefully. As indifference roared with more force, she moved her gaze up, up. 3 moons glowed in the purple-red sky she'd come to adore, partially shielded by an array of storm clouds. Any moment, ice daggers would begin to fall. Almost time. What if she was too late? What if... No, unacceptable thought process. All would be well. Winter kissed the handle of her favorite dagger, one she'd stolen from Puck's brother, when he dared to venture from his fortress of solitude. Whoever kills the most soldiers wins. Loser has to admit the winner is superior. Deal, she said with a note of affection. Her friendship with Winter hadn't formed overnight, or even over a decade, but it had formed. Now there was no one Gillian would rather have by her side. She wondered, though, when, if Puck ever returned, would Winter's allegiance change? "Thinking about Hubby Dearest again?" her friend asked. "Ex-Hubby Dearest. There's a statute of limitations on an uncontested, unofficial divorce, right?" And yet... still, she avoided dating other men. though she wanted a boyfriend and romantic dinners, gift exchanges, dancing and laughing, long, lingering glances, tender smiles, all the things girls dreamed of receiving from an admirer, all the things she'd been denied throughout her life, first because of fear, then an unwanted marriage. But if she got cozy with someone else after hunting and killing males who'd betrayed their wives, she would be a hypocrite. She also killed hypocrites. Winter bumped her shoulder. "You always tense like you're about to be hit by my fists of fury. Don't worry, he'll come back. Indifference causes him to lose focus sometimes, or stop caring about his objective. But he always finds his way sooner or later. Shouldn't his kingdom be an exception?" "Nothing is an exception with indifference, except maybe," Winter's voice trailed off. "What?" Her friend shrugged and said. "Except maybe you. The way he looked at you before he left, I thought I would combust. I've never seen such intensity from him before." A tendril of pleasure unfurled, which was ridiculous. Her body might burn for Puck some nights, most nights, fine all nights nowadays. And he might beleaguer her dreams, but she wasn't going to mess around with him when he returned. She'd known him, what, all of 5 minutes? And too well did she recall the ease with which he'd moved from Iceman to smoldering, back to Iceman. No doubt he'd heat up if he got her into bed, only to freeze her out afterward. No, thanks. Gillian expected, and deserved, to feel respected afterward. Maybe he'd surprise her? Ugh, wishful thinking would only lead to disappointment. Would Puck even want her? Of course. The bond made her crave Puck, despite everything that had happened between them. Therefore, the bond made him crave her. It was science. Were they nothing but puppets on a string? Did it really matter? Want was want. Wait. Am I trying to talk myself into a sexcapade with him or out of it? I'm confused. He wasn't exactly boyfriend material. Romantic dinners, gift exchanges, dancing, laughing, and long lingering glances or tender smiles, not exactly in his wheelhouse. Temptation said, "Why not use him, just for a little while? Satisfaction awaits." The idea wasn't repellent. She could experience the beauty of sex without fear. As many times as she'd fantasized about Puck, old memories had never surfaced. And it wasn't like she could get off all by her lonesome. Whimper. Any time she'd attempted it, her body had shut down thanks to the bond. Or maybe indifference. Or both. Deep down, she suspected she needed Puck to finish the job, his presence somehow making her desire too strong to be denied. And dang it, she was tired of writhing atop her sheets, desperate and aching, unable to satiate the need her husband had roused with a simple kiss, a need that hadn't abated in their time apart, but grown. A need for Puck and Puck alone. Part of her mind cried, why not William? She'd known him years longer and had hero-worshipped the crap out of him. Yeah, body. Why? Though she thought of him every now and then, wondering if he could possibly be as gorgeous as she remembered, and though she always had fun taunting Puck about the other man in her letters, she'd never fantasized about him. A crack of thunder returned her thoughts to the matter at hand. If I get caught, Gillian began. I know, slaughter everyone, risk my life more, and save you. Oh, are you kidding? Retreat, steal more weapons, acquire more magic, and return. Another crack of thunder, followed by a blaze of lightning that spotlighted soldiers as they ran for cover. They knew no one in their right mind would attack during an ice storm. They weren't wrong. Gillian hadn't had a right mind for centuries. Shields were raised over the tents, offering protection for the people inside. After this, Winter said, as unconcerned with the coming reign of death as Gillian, the newly crowned Walsh king will probably stop courting you. That's just a bonus, she said. Gillian had killed the last two sovereigns. The first had delighted in the pain he'd inflicted upon women, reminding her of her step-horrors. The next one had killed a beloved member of the Shawazans, not during battle, but a shopping extravaganza. He'd stabbed her from behind. After a third crack of thunder, the first ice dagger fell from the sky and speared the ground a few inches from Gillian's face. Indifference howled with surprise before vanishing from her mind. Well, well. Near-death experiences weren't his thing. Good to know. Now, she said, raising a shield of her own, she popped to her feet and raced down the sand dune. Chapter 18. More and more ice daggers descended, deluging the land. Gillian had to jump, dodge, and dive to avoid slamming into each new obstacle, even as other ice daggers slammed into her shield and shattered into a million little pieces. Thankfully, the same thud-thud and clink-clink echoed from the shields that covered the roofs of the tents. Winter remained a few steps behind her, guarding her back. No wonder the lords of the underworld enjoyed their skirmishes. Protecting the people you loved was the greatest high. The second greatest? Knowing the warrior at your side or on your six would die for you if necessary. Family, acceptance, support, everything Gillian had ever wanted, delivered in a package she'd never expected. Adrenaline surged through her veins, supercharging her. Magic stirred, her runes glowing bright, soon becoming beacons in the night. That wouldn't do. Unleashing a whip of power, she caused grains of sand to rise and form a tornado around her and Winter. When she'd first learned about magic, she'd thought different types produced specific results. Like super speed or the ability to flash, superhuman strength, unnatural endurance, breathing underwater, night vision, telepathy, atmokinesis, omnilingualism, echolocation, mind control, intangibility, self-camouflage, poison generation, telekinesis, pyrokinesis, psychokinesis, the ability to fly. But it hadn't taken long to realize magic was simply power, and the more you had, the more you could do. A certain amount of magic was needed to perform certain abilities. The more magic you used on those abilities, the less you could do, your power draining faster and faster. It was a vicious cycle. Sin Cunnaught seemed to be the sole exception. According to word on the dunes, he'd possessed three abilities since birth: super speed, shape-shifting, and night vision. Puck had super speed, too, and he'd shapeshifted the day he'd brought her into Amaranthia. Could he also see in the dark like his brother? What else could he do? She would have liked to. Focus, girl. She released a second whip of magic, increasing the speed of the tornado to create a type of force field. In the eye of the storm, she and Winter remained unaffected. Unfortunately, her magic meter already teetered on empty. Finding the right targets had become increasingly difficult, as men learned of her hatred for anyone willing to commit crimes against women and children. They were no longer so vocal about their crimes, no longer bragging or publicly punishing the people under their care. One day, Gillian hoped to find a way to self-power, so that her magic built and never drained, allowing her to tap into every supernatural ability. It was good to have dreams. As she raced onward, voices drifted from the tents. Telling you, I saw him with my own eyes. Panic infused his tone. What does he want? Who was him, he? Rescue first, gather info second. Information could be as valuable as magic. Because the tornado limited her vision, she had to use more magic to see past the wall of wind and sand, and even tent flaps to peer inside the dwellings. Warriors cleaning weapons, women cooking, couples having sex, arguing, laughing. When her gaze skidded over Johanna, Gillian stopped and backtracked. Heart thudding against her ribs, she used hand signals to send Winter racing to the other side of the most luxurious tent in the entire camp, where she would wait for exactly 2 minutes. A countdown began in Gillian's head. 2 minutes or 120 seconds. She took stock. A rusty cage occupied the center, and Johanna crouched inside. Mud caked her corkscrew curls, and dirt streaked her dark skin. Her clothing, a leather top with thin metal links over her vital organs, and a pleated skirt, were tattered. She gripped the cage bars, her brown eyes narrowed. Her lips compressed into a tight line. 1 minute left. Fury seethed in Gillian's chest. She remembered the day she'd met Johanna hundreds of years ago. She'd heard rumors about a male who beat and abused his daughters, so she'd snuck into his home, intending to kill him and steal his magic. He'd had sweet little Johanna by the throat, choking the life from her. Gillian had erupted and choked the life out of him, like for like. At first, Johanna had feared her. Over time, as Gillian trained her to fight the same way she'd once been trained by Winter, they'd become friends, family. No one hurts my family. 30 seconds. Johanna's captor, the commander of the outpost, lounged on a mound of pillows, sharpening a blade.
Looks like we're going to have another night together, he laughed. Perhaps the Dune Raider will show up tomorrow, or not. Perhaps she's afraid of me and washed her hands of you.
15. The taunts of a cruel man, nothing more. Deserves what's coming. 10. As quietly and quickly as possible, Gillian cut a slit in the side of the tent. 5. Before he noticed the sudden icy breeze, she slipped inside. Now, mind locking on a single thought. Will do what I must, always. She tossed her shield, nailing him in the temple, and palmed a second dagger. With a bellow, he clambered to his feet, ready to punish her with his sword. What he didn't know? Winter had entered the tent from the other side, a bow raised, arrow cocked. Whoosh! The arrow sliced through his wrist. His hand spasmed, and he dropped the weapon. One step, two, then she was running. Winter tossed a shield in her direction. The second it hit the sand, directly in front of her, she dropped upon it, knees to metal. Her momentum sent her sliding across the sand, through the commander's legs. She slicked her blades across his inner thighs. Not enough damage. The second she was behind him, she hopped off the shield, twisted and stabbed the backs of his knees. He toppled and released another bellow. Winter had already freed Johanna, and now needed to make the final kill, or at least an attempt. She wouldn't want to, would want her friend to take the magic she needed to heal, but she would be punished by selfishness if she didn't try. Reflexes well honed, Gillian tossed a blade at Johanna. The Shawazan general shouldered a grateful Winter out of the way, caught the weapon and crouched in front of the commander, who she then stabbed in the heart. Dark mist rose from his body, quickly enveloping Johanna. Savoring the influx of power, she closed her eyes and let her head fall back. The runes in her hands glowed, almost brighter than the sun. Thank you. Healthy color bloomed in Johanna's cheeks. Thank you so much.
Any time, Gillian replied, and meant it. From her perch on the ground, Winter grumbled, Just do us a favor and don't get captured next time. I wish you'd given me such sage advice before I entered the camp and tried to steal a kiss from a handsome stranger, Johanna said with a salute. Would have saved me a little light torture. Impatience intensifying, Gillian tugged Winter to her feet and grabbed the shield she discarded. You guys ready to fight our way out? Johanna claimed the dagger the commander had sharpened and blew him a kiss.
Mind if I borrow this? No? Thanks, Bunches.
Hey, I wanted his dagger, Winter said with a pout.
How about we take daggers and swords from his friends, Gillian suggested, the beauty of compromise.
And let's not forget magic.
Smiles abounded as they raced out of the tent and into the still raging storm. Soldiers were now rushing outside, shields raised. Amid the chaos and confusion caused by the storm, Gillian and company blended in with the growing crowd and performed the perfect sneak attack.
Girls against boys. Girls killed everyone.
By the time the last soldier died, ice daggers had ceased falling. The tang of old pennies and emptied bowels tainted the air. Blood had turned the ground into a crimson sea of destruction. Magic rose from the corpses and wafted to the rightful recipients. Tendrils of strength flooded Gillian, but didn't heal her. Despite her many kills, the men had been short on magic.
How many Walshes did you kill? Winter asked.
Breaths sawing in and out. Gillian cut a strip of cloth from a tent, wrapped her wound, and replied,
Lost count, sorry.
Wouldn't matter anyway, Johanna said. I bet I beat you both. How old are you grannies anyway?
Ha ha, Winter said. Come on, let's go home.
Winter and Johanna trash-talked as they raced across the dunes. Gillian would have joined in, but she was too busy ignoring the aches and pains, screaming for relief. By the time they crossed the Shawazan border, the suns were in the process of rising, lovely golden rays glowing in the purple-red sky and highlighting... No, surely not. Gillian blinked rapidly, certain she wasn't looking at a tall, muscular form with bronzed skin and silver razors in his dark hair. Or maybe she... was. He was speaking to Rosaline, his back to Gillian, his bare back, with a butterfly tattoo the color of shamrocks. Tension stole through her body, but so did a familiar current of heat. Gillian came to an abrupt stop. Not yet getting the memo, her heart continued to race faster and faster.
Puck?
Chapter 19
a voice with the power to make him grow harder than steel. Hers. Puck spun so quickly he nearly gave himself whiplash. Frantic, he searched. There! Gillian Cunnaught stood at the crest of a sand dune, Winter and a woman he'd never met at her side. He noted the presence of the others absently, noted the dried blood and other things caked on all three females as well. He knew he should wonder about the cause, and he would, just as soon as he stopped lusting like a lad with his first stable. Gillian had undergone significant changes. Immortality hadn't frozen her at 18 years old, but had allowed her to age into her perfect self. Her hair was longer, a shade darker and wavy. Her cheeks were thinner, her breasts larger, luscious. Rounded hips were magnificently displayed in what must have become the Amaranthian woman's uniform, a black leather halter top and short pleated skirt, bound together by metal links to shield vital organs. The rest of her was stunningly toned. Runes now branded her hands, the glittering swirls a stunning enhancement, like permanent flesh jewelry. He must have changed as well, because what he'd felt for her before paled in comparison to what he felt for her now. Desire ruled him. Perhaps their bond had deepened over the centuries she'd lived. Perhaps her magic called to his. The urge to close the distance, yank her into his arms, to touch and taste, to brand, bombarded him, nearly irresistible. I will have what's mine. Want her. Badly. Must protect. Must keep. Ambition protested. Must give her back to William. She winced and clutched her side as she shifted from one booted foot to the other. A crimson-soaked cloth was wrapped around her torso from rib to hip bone. Someone had hurt her. Someone would die. Barely controlling his rage, he rushed across the distance. Gillian met him halfway. They stopped in unison, only a whisper separating their bodies. His thrummed with new tension, hers exuded feminine heat. She kept her gaze steady on his, so unlike the girl he used to know, the one who had looked away at the first opportunity. When he inhaled the sweet scent of poppy berries, he couldn't stop a moan. Nor could the men in her clan, men who'd halted what they were doing to watch her with palpable longing. Puck bowed up, ready for battle. If they did not turn away, they would die just as surely as someone. They caught sight of him and turned away. Better. As Puck returned his focus to his wife, fascination and awareness charged the air, and the rest of the world faded. Erratic and wild, his pulse points drummed against his heating skin. Each beat spoke, take her, take her. Indifference erupted in a chorus of displeasure, but not even a fiend could distract Puck from the vision before him. Gillian. She punched him, rattling his brain against his skull. Well, hello to you too, he said, rubbing his stinging cheek. Up went her chin. That's for lying to me. She punched him again, splitting his lip. Sorry. He finished, his ears ringing. That's for breaking my finger. Punch. That's for abandoning me in a strange land. Punch. That's for returning 300 years later than promised. He waited for the next blow, but she drew in a deep breath, exhaled and nodded as if satisfied in a job well done. Lifting a brow, he said, Finished?
Yep.
For now. She knit her brows.
Hey. Why aren't I hurt, too?
He tapped the gold cuff still anchored to his wrist. Excellent form and flawless technique, by the way. Winter and Cameron trained you well. Until you began to train them, of course. Pride brightening her features, she fluffed her hair.
Thank you.
Then her cheeks bloomed a lovely shade of pink, making him want to reach out and touch. How hot did she burn?
You've already read my letters.
I have. He'd used magic to absorb every word written by both Gillian and Cameron, but no amount of magic could have curbed his surprise as the details had been unveiled. Gillian had built an orphanage for needy children and a shelter for abused females. She'd been courted by kings and princes, who would be executed when Puck united the clans. She'd learned to wield magic, had even killed for it. With each new letter, Puck had actually felt her grow and toughen, and when she'd mentioned her happiness, his heart had fluttered, something it had never done. She'd mentioned she had hulkouts, and he'd almost smiled. Had his wee wife thrown a temper tantrum or two? The urge to smile had faded when he'd come upon the oracle's prophecy. No happy ending. Even now, guilt welled. By bringing Gilly into Amaranthia, Puck had set her on a certain path. In essence, he'd doomed her, an innocent who'd experienced a tragic childhood. Because even if he severed their bond right here, right now, he would do her no good. The prophecy had been spoken. It would come to pass, no matter how hard they tried to circumvent it. Hadn't sin proved this? So, where's William? Gillian asked. That name on her lips. Hate it. Puck wanted to grab her by the shoulders and press her against the hard line of his body. He would kiss her so deeply he would erase memories of the male from her mind. Where's William, my sweet? He's dead if you ask about him just one more time. Ridiculous thought, merely a pipe dream. The fool struck out on his own, hoping to track you down, he said, even though he knows nothing about this realm or its inhabitants. And you just let him go? Her chiding tone set his nerves on edge. Should I have tied him down? Puck had searched the Shawazan camp instead, thinking Gillian might be hiding inside one of the homes. He'd found no sign of her, but had found countless women sharpening swords, making repairs on different dwellings, and practicing combat moves. Some of the male residents had fetched and discarded debris as it blew into the camp. Others had cooked. Still others had sat on rocks and sewed. Everyone had looked content. Gillian hadn't created a clan. She'd created a miracle. Her people loved her. They followed her by choice rather than fear, so loyal they had refused to answer his questions about her. Now she took a step back and turned on her heel. Where are you going? Puck demanded, latching onto her arm to hold her in place. He'd just found her. No way he'd let her out of his sight. Where else to find William? He ground his teeth until his gums ached. Cameron is searching for him. You're one lucky bastard, Cameron had said before taking off. Sure, Gillian has destroyed any chance of uniting the clans and achieving peace, but she's taken life by the balls and lived every second with passion. How many others can say the same? He'll be back soon enough, Puck said. Gillian wrenched free of his grip, but didn't attempt to storm off a second time. He released a breath he hadn't known he'd been holding. I like our land, he said, hoping to distract her. Our land, she choked out. Despite your talk of divorce, we are husband and wife. What is yours is also mine. By your reasoning, the shears are also mine. Give them to me. Clever female. How about I give you an apology instead? I'm sorry I lied to you. Sorry I purposely harmed you. You have my word I will never do either again. Shrug. A casual action, and yet she said, You better mean those words. The Prince of Fionn lied to me a few months ago, and he's just now learning to walk again. His wee little wife had immobilized a warrior who'd trained for battle for eons. Puck almost laughed. Am I forgiven? You were forgiven before the punches. Doesn't mean we're best friends or anything. Or that I trust you. Good enough, for now. I'm also sorry I took more time than anticipated, when you were so eager to start dating other men. Tone guttural, no longer masking the savagery that boiled inside him, he demanded, Did you? She merely blinked at him, as if he were a recalcitrant child. Thought to deny him an answer, he killed people for less. How many men would he have to murder for daring to covet what belonged to him, or worse, touching her? A warrior defended his territory, always. No one had the right to look at Gillian without Puck's permission. He would never grant permission. Paying no heed to the demon's newest chorus, Puck snapped, Tell me. What do you think? I mean, look at me. She waved a hand over her curvaceous little body, he imagined lost in the throes of passion. I'm a stunning 519, or is it 18, 20, I forget. Her gaze clashed with his, so dark, so lovely, her whiskey-colored irises glowing as brightly as runes, daring him to naysay her. The soul-deep wounds he'd once noticed were no longer as prevalent, but the kindling hadn't yet been set aflame. No one had made her burn. His tension evaporated. You are stunning, aye, no matter your current age. She fluffed her hair again. Despite my dotage, I don't need a cane unless I break or lose a leg, and I don't tremble when I'm using my sewing needles to stitch up my friends.
But you haven't started dating, he pointed out.
Bristling, she said, how do you know? And why do you care?
Who said I care? You can do whatever you want with whomever you want.
Her gaze roved over him and...
Heated? You sure about that, Pucky?
Your lips say, do whatever you want, but the rest of you says, do me now. And by the rest of you, I'm talking about the pocket rocket you're smuggling in your pants.
Noticed, had she?
He straightened his spine and squared his shoulders with pride.
Look, wife, see what you do to me so easily. I said you could do what you wanted with whomever you wanted. I didn't say I would allow the men to live. His reasonable tone while discussing murder caused the corners of her mouth to curl upward, surprising him. She schooled her expression, disappointing him, and crossed her arms over her chest.
You're the same as before, in looks and demeanor, hot one moment, frigid the next. Your doomy vibe won't last.
Then we had better hurry to our home, so I can do you while it lasts. I'm kidding. I might not be kidding.
There you go again, our home? And no way, no how. There will be no doing.
She sputtered a moment, then hurried to change the subject. What do you think of my camp?
Giving credit where credit was due, he said. You've created something special here. While the Shawwazans he'd interviewed had flatly refused to answer personal questions about their leader, they'd been more than happy to brag about her conquests. She was known as the Dune Raider, a warrior without equal, and a bona fide weapon. She invaded rival camps, freed women from stables and abuse, cared for children, especially orphans, stole what she wanted, whenever she wanted, and punished soldiers for their crimes. She also trained former captives to do the same.
What was exaggerated, and what was true?
Whatever the answer, he wished he'd gotten to witness her transformation from fearful to brave. Earlier, he'd said to Cameron,
"What hardships did she face? Tell me everything."
"Well, let's see, only all of them," his friend had replied. "But before you stare at me with your cold, hard eyes, yeah, just like that, she volunteered for many of them in order to be a better warrior and commander."
"Thank you,"
Gillian said now, preening.
"But," he added with a scowl, "tensions are higher than ever. Brutal clan-on-clan battles are waged weekly. Savage ambushes and strategic raids are a daily occurrence. The only thing the citizens agree upon is their hatred for you."
"So? I regret nothing."
He should be angry with her. Instead, he was even more pleased.
"Such spirit."
Puck reached out and traced his knuckles along her jawline. Just as she'd done on their wedding day, she leaned into his touch. Only this time she uttered the sexiest sound he'd ever heard.
"My wife is in desperate need of stroking."
How could he regret anything now? Though Gillian looked tougher than before, even harsh, she felt like warmed silk. The longer he touched her, the thicker the air became, breathing more difficult. Tremors arced through him, desire sizzling deep in his marrow. He longed to sweep her into his arms and carry her to the nearest bed, which he absolutely wouldn't do. Which he probably shouldn't do. Which he just might do. No, no, his next goal awaited him. He couldn't allow Gillian to distract him. Lust held no importance. Or rather, it wouldn't. Puck summoned more and more ice, until finally the heat of desire cooled, a layer of frost forming over his heart and mind, followed by another and another, until his frigid armor was in place, his thoughts and body calm. Chapter 20 "Better," Puck said. Gillian jolted, stepping away from him, swaying.
"And he's back," she muttered, distaste dripping from the words. Swaying? Her wound had weakened her, he realized. How could he have lost sight of it?
"You're hurt," he said, the emotionless quality of his voice somehow obscene to him. "Who dared hurt my wife? Why weren't you protected?"
Scowling, she took another step back, increasing the distance between them.
such a dumb question, Winters said as she approached. He zoomed his slitted gaze to his former friend.
You had instructions to see to her well-being, and yet you allowed her to be harmed.
Winter waved the observation away and anchored her hands on her hips. I waited on the sidelines forever, expecting an invitation to join the reunion. Since you guys were rude enough to ignore me, I'll be rude enough to butt in. By the way, this sucks.
Agreed, Puck said. You allowed her.
I had a plan, the keeper of selfishness continued with a pout. Puck would return, and I would introduce Gillian.
I've met her, he snapped. Now tell me why you allowed...
Go ahead, Gillian prompted, cutting him off. Introduce me. He doesn't know my names have changed.
Names, plural?
Winter cleared her throat. Puck Connaught, may I present to you Gillian Connaught. First of her name, Queen of the Shawazons, the Dune Raider, Defender of the Weak, Stable Destroyer, Mother of the World's Worst Chimera, Scourge of the Sands, Sovereign of Every House, Friend of Winter.
A glowing Gillian gave her a thumbs up, and Puck found himself powerless to do anything but stare, utterly entranced, as if he'd never put his emotions in a deep freeze.
What mad world have I entered?
Winter kissed Gillian's cheek.
I'll give you a minute, maybe two, but probably only 30 seconds before I return with supplies. Finish your business, or pleasure, and don't forget to tell your ex how you divided up your joint assets when you divorced, by keeping everything yourself. It's a fascinating story, and I'm sure he'll be properly enthralled.
You're trying to take over the conversation, babe, Gillian said with an adoring smile.
Envy slashed what remained of his impassivity to ribbons. Her affection belonged to Puck, and only—
He popped his jaw and forced his thoughts to blank.
Right, my bad. Winter mimed locking her lips and throwing away the key. Then she turned to Puck and said, Don't try to blame me for your loss. You totally should have seen this coming. Everyone knows a love match versus an arranged one is like suicide versus murder. Besides, Gillian never believed me when I told her the secret to a successful immortal marriage is keeping your husband's armory full and his balls empty. You're probably better off because...
Only proving my point, Gillian muttered.
Right again.
With a wink and a finger wave, Winter headed off to gather those supplies.
Not wasting a moment, Puck grated.
We are not divorced, and we are not getting divorced.
Yet. I want my freedom from you and your demon.
I know, he raised his brows. You're ready for romance.
And you sound real broken up about it, she pinched the bridge of her nose. Look, maybe you weren't aware, but marriage is the number one cause of divorce in every realm. These things happen. No one's at fault, blah, 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 except you. You're at fault. What did you think would happen when you stayed away 300 years longer than planned? Did you forget how to count? By the way, I don't need Winter to protect me. I can protect myself.
Obviously, he said with a sneer, and motioned to her wound.
Like you've never been hurt in battle.
Only very rarely. And I didn't think about what would happen during my absence. Not every second of every day.
Let me guess, you just didn't care, she said. Apathy in all things might as well be our family motto.
Aye, apathy in all things. So why did he take a step toward her, needing contact?
And why did the words, our family, on those red, red lips cause a shudder of longing?
Whiskey-colored eyes widened, and the pulse at the base of her neck raced. The beauty who put the sons of Amaranthia to shame began to pant as a rosy flush darkened her cheeks and spread. He remembered how badly he'd longed to investigate her blushes before his departure. How he'd wondered just how hot her skin felt, and just how far the heat spread. Now his curiosity deepened.
"Do I look apathetic?"
he rasped. She gave him a once-over, and actually licked her lips, shocking him. Then she flattened her palms over his pecs and pushed.
"Thought she needed space?"
He stepped closer, so close his chest brushed against the beaded crests of her breasts when he inhaled. A ragged groan escaped him at the moment of contact.
Not his fault.
The curves on this woman. She fit him perfectly, soft where he was hard. He wanted to rub against her, wanted to rub against her now.
Instead, he stepped back.
Careful, proceed with caution.
She flicked the tip of her tongue against an incisor as she studied him more intently. What thoughts rolled through her mind? Back to the many times you've gotten hurt throughout your life, and not just in war but in romance, she finally said. I know you once wanted Winter.